Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verse number 13. We see here in a parable given to by our Lord unto those in his day, in the day of his ministry, and to us. In Luke 19, verse number 13, it says here, "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come." We asked the question this morning, the message this morning, how are you occupying? It's a very personal thing. How are you occupying? In this passage here, we back up to verse number 11, and the Lord Jesus is he's mentioned earlier in the chapter about Zacchaeus, the account of Zacchaeus, and the Lord Jesus says in verse 10, he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then it says in verse 11, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." There was a contingent there. The disciples believed that Jesus would come to power in that day, in the day that he walked on earth, became a man and walked on earth and was ministering among them. And so he's going to give them something to help them understand the truth. "He said, therefore..." That they're thinking the kingdom of God should immediately happen, okay, should come about, Jesus rise to power and restore Israel to her former glory. "He said, therefore," in verse number 12, "a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, thou layest not down. Thou reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that which I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? He said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. Along with this account is one in Matthew chapter 25 that I think it's appropriate for us to bring in. They speak of the same thing. We pick it up here in Matthew 25. And the Lord's speaking this near the end of his ministry. And in this chapter is this parable, this account, this aspect of the kingdom about regarding 10 virgins and what the Lord is explaining and conveying to us about the kingdom there. And so I think in this we see, in these two parables, we see aspects that include and encompass all people, okay, when we take them and bring different aspects of them together. In verse number 14, we pick it up here, and the Lord preaching and teaching us. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so we have these 2 accounts, and indeed they are connected and related, because the theme of them, the thread of them, is the same. Details are different. And I think maybe the Lord would do such a thing to let us not get hung up on the details, but to understand the main issue that is at hand, and the things that are at hand necessary for us to understand and know about his kingdom. Our Lord is the King. He is the King. And we do well to get a hold of that. It's hard for us in these United States to be able to get a handle on the Lord being a king. It's not impossible for us, but you and I have never lived under a monarchy. We've never physically lived under a monarchy. We have great blessings in our land and our nation because of the purpose and the pursuits of those coming to this great land. And the blessings of our Lord upon our nation. A freedom has been a thing that has been promoted and pursued, a freedom for to worship and to serve the Lord, and freedom to live, and freedom to pursue and to do, because of the things that have been suffered by many, by the oppression of monarchs and dictators. And so freedom has been a theme in our country. And the Lord has blessed greatly that this freedom has been able to be used to proclaim his word and his gospel around the world. And so the Lord has used that. But then indeed this freedom that we have is a thing that works against us, because it causes us, we allow it to be tempted to make us, to allow ourselves to pursue a very much of a self-will and a self-wisdom that is so natural for man. It's so interesting how blessings are good things, and then blessings by our misunderstanding and our misuse can become curses. Isn't that something how that is in life? And I tell you what, it's a sober outlook to understand that. Maybe we can be checked in some things. But there is a king. In Matthew, we read here that he's described, verse number 20, in chapter 25, verse number 14, there is a man. There is the kingdom of heaven. A kingdom of God is as a man. In Luke chapter 19, it was declared there, the Lord did, a certain nobleman. And we're going to go back and forth between these passages. So if you got a couple ribbons or a couple pieces of paper or your fingers there, you may want to hold that there. You notice in both of these accounts, here in Matthew chapter 25, For the kingdom of heaven is in italics. It's been added by the translators. There's nothing in that verse or that breakdown of that statement that tells us directly that he's talking about the kingdom. But we know from the passages before in both cases that he is. He's talking about this thing, and so now he's going to tell something that helps us connect with an aspect of it. And so that's the case in both of these passages, Luke 19 and Matthew chapter 25. In verse number, Luke 19 and verse number 12, in verse number 12, there's nothing here that says about the kingdom in verse number 12, but in verse number 11, it makes it clear that he's talking about his kingdom indeed. There is a king. Represented in this as a man or a nobleman, for sure. There is a citizenry in there. There is a citizenry. There are subjects. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14, his own servants were called unto him. His own servants were called unto the man. In Luke chapter 19, we see here that it's listed as 10 servants were called unto the nobleman. In Psalm 24, verse number 1, the scripture says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." They that dwell therein. He's not talking about the cattle when he's talking about they. He's talking about us. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about souls. He's talking about all those that today on the Lord's day are rebellious against the Lord and the Lord's day. They belong to him too. We are the Lord's. We're the created, and he's the creator. In Ezekiel 18, verse number 4, the Lord says here, "Behold, all souls are mine." The spiritual existence that is within us, the seed of the emotion of man, what makes you you and what makes me, is the Lord's. Our souls belong to him. He's created them. He's the creator. And he's not created us and just turned us loose and shot us off. But he's created us indeed for a purpose, to glorify him and all that is him. "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine." He goes on to say there in Ezekiel 18:4, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Sin is our problem. That's our problem. That's the reason we need the Lord to come and talk to us and teach us about his kingdom and the way that it is. We see back in Luke 19 and Matthew 25 that the king or the man or the nobleman is the one that has distributed. He says in Luke 19:13, he delivered them 10 pounds. He, of his own substance, gave to them each a pound. In Matthew 25:15, it says he gave to one 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Again, the Lord's not wanting us to get hung up on the quantities or the number of people at hand. He's wanting us to understand about his dealing with you and me. "Well, I'm no servant." Oh, yes, you are. "I'm not obliged to this high power or this God Almighty." Yes, you are. He's created you. Everything that you have, he's given unto you. "Yeah, but I've learned and I've grown and I've studied. I've done this or that and attained and worked and invented and done and pursued and all that and gained wealth." I tell you what, you couldn't have moved a muscle without the blessing of the Lord giving it to you. Your brain, your intellect, your physical ability, your place where you were brought down, you and I were dropped down into this world in our life, to our parents, to our families, to the things of our life, the influences in our life. It's all from him. There's differences between us. It says in Matthew 25:15, he says he gave to everyone, every man, according to his several ability. There's differences. It's the Lord's doing. He does this for one, he does this for another. He does this for another and does this for another one. That's what he does. It's his kingdom. That's what a king does. He does what he wants to do. It says in 1 Corinthians 7:17, but as God hath distributed to every man, and this is speaking to the saints, but the principle is so in all respects, as the Lord hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. Children of God, it's the Lord that has given us what he's given us and done what he's done with us. We need to walk in that. And so ordain I in all the churches, Brother Paul writes. Here we see in Matthew 25 and Luke chapter 19 that the Lord, this man, this nobleman, and this in these parables indicating the Lord himself, I think we don't have to make much of a stretch at all to understand that he's talking about himself. It says, he has given a word or a command. It says in Matthew 25:15, and to one he gave 5 talents, the other 2, and another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Does he give without telling? Does he give without telling what the purpose is, what the use is? No, our Lord does not. In Luke chapter 19, in our text verse, in verse number 13, he told these, occupy till I come. This word occupy is talking about be busy about his business. He's the equipper. He gives the pound. He gives the talents. And understand the representation here of these talents is actually money. But we indeed can take this to the ability that the Lord has given us in ourselves. Not that of the physical things of this world, but the ability to think and reason and pursue and understand, to do. Do you have a hobby? Do you have a work that you do? That's the blessing and equipping of the Lord for us to be able to pursue and think and do those things. He's given that. He's meted that out as he's been pleased. And he says, occupy till I come. Occupy in your own business, your own thinking, or occupy in his. And indeed, there is that of life that we have to pursue, the work that we have to do to support ourselves and to support our families and all that. That's part of the work and the blessing of God. It's not that that is separated from it. It's part of it. It's part of it to occupy till I come. Is the Lord talking about just take life and live it for yourself? Is that what he's saying? Take life and live. And understand, when a preacher is talking about that, he's not saying that there's no enjoyment in life. That's not it. We can take of that which the Lord has given us and do something fun or something pleasurable or something that we can enjoy. But we need to make sure that we not leave off anything that the Lord has made and set before us that is certain and that we should pursue and is primary, if you will. He says, occupy. Occupy. Be busy about my business. The Bible, this book, is our Lord's word, his command to us, and his business and our part in it. He's left us with that instruction in this Bible about how we're to occupy till he comes. I just want to, and this is a subject for another message, but I want to mention this. It occurred to me in studying this. Do you feel trapped by what you have been given? There are those that do. There are those that feel trapped. And probably all of us at some point in our life have felt trapped by what we have been given. Good blessings from God, but I'm constrained in this. I tell you what, Brother John Alls was ordained on Friday, and they talked to him about his many different things. They talked about it to him about his marriage. Because you know what? A man that's going to be in the ministry of the Lord and called to be a minister of the Lord needs to do well in his marriage. You know what? There are those that feel trapped by the good blessing of marriage. There are those that feel trapped by the good blessing of children. The thing is why? We don't want to occupy in what the Lord has given us. The Lord has given us the blessing of marriage. The Lord has given us the blessing of children. We need to go and look at and seek the Lord's face and find out how and where we can be content in that great blessing. You know, money can be a blessing, money can be a curse. Being without money can be a blessing or be a curse. Too little, so little, we can feel trapped that we can't do anything. We may even find the necessity of life. But the Lord has promised his own that he will provide. And as a brother mentioned here, have you asked? As the Lord says, have we asked? Having so much can indeed be a temptation too, because you know what can be found? You know what a child will do? And this is typical and shows about all of us. A child that has so many choices will run in circles trying to figure out what they're going to do next, because everything is so available. But in the extreme, if you only have one thing to play with, the choice is easy, isn't it? But having been given what we've been given, that's what the Lord has given us. And contentment with that. Contentment with that. Is there bounty? Is there lean? That's what the Lord has given. And so, do we feel trapped by what we have been given? Do we feel trapped by our choices? I tell you what, we can make some good choices in our responsibility. We can make some poor choices in our responsibility, and we can end up like we feel trapped. Covetousness reigns in the natural heart of man. We typically always want naturally something we don't have. Our Lord has distributed unto us, and maybe in our responsibility, we've made choices that we should not have made. But I tell you what, that is where we're at. And we need to seek our Lord's face to seek contentment where he has put us and see the blessings that abound in our lives. And may God help us, because the Lord has said, the King has said, here you are, here you're provided for. Occupy till I come. Occupy in his business. We need to count our blessings indeed and put ourselves to the work that the Lord has given unto us. The King, having given and distributed so and given a command and a word, does he have an expectation? Does the king have? Does the nobleman, does the man have an expectation? What is the expectation? It says in the Lord in another place in Luke 12:48, and he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes, the ignorant, but is guilty of disobedience, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And of whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. The Lord says, the way you work in the world, the way that mankind works in the world is no different than the way I work. You get a lot. You get a salary from your boss. That's what the boss requires of you. If it's less, then less is required. If it's more, more is required. It's just the way it works. God's no different. Our Lord is no different. What's required of us is what's been given to us. And not only in wealth, not only of the things of life, but in what the Lord has given us within, those talents, those abilities, the ability to pursue and to gain knowledge and application and such. What's his expectation? Our Lord expects a return. Our Lord respects a return in what? I think it can be summarized up very simply. Our Lord expects a return in glory unto him. That's it. That we are to do and we are to live. Hey, what a terrible tragedy it is, what a terrible misunderstanding it is for men and women in this world to go off to a place of solitude, never to return into society again. That's not what we're called to do, to be nuns, pin up to a hole in a mountain somewhere, to be monks off somewhere, to never be seen and live in the world. God has not called us to that. He's called us to live. He's called us to live in this world, glorifying him and occupying for him until he comes. The giver expects something of the one to whom he is given. Thanksgiving, praise, and worship are due unto our Lord. Well, in these passages, we see in Matthew 25, you can turn over there, in verses 16 through 18, we see that some were busy and some were not. Do you know that's what's going on here? Some are busy and some are not. All are equipped different. All are provided for differently. All are given the gifts that are given. And what's expected by the man, by the nobleman, by the king, is what's been given to work with that. That's all. But some are busy and some are not. Some are busy and some are not. We see that here. We see in this that this about being busy or not being busy, maybe a better way to describe it is some were obedient. They heard that about occupy till I come, and they took it to heart. Some were disobedient. They heard it. But in their self-wisdom and their self-way, they're just going and doing their own thing because they know better. Conceitedness is a terrible, ugly thing, because you know what conceitedness does? It destroys. Self-wisdom destroys. It's only the wisdom of the Lord that helps and brings us unto our Lord in favor and joy with him. He's commanded. His expectation is for us to obey. In Luke chapter 19, we see here a point indeed that is at hand. In verse number 14, it says, "But his citizens hated him, the nobleman, and sent a message after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.'" There is the blatantly rebellious. There is the blatantly rebellious. They said, "No, good riddance. Don't ever come back. We don't want to see you. We don't want anything to do with you. You're not going to reign over us." There's the blatantly rebellious. You know what? And as I go through life, the blatantly rebellious is really, I find that the blatantly rebellious, I pray by the Lord's help and the Lord's touch, will be better off than the other. You know what the other is? And I think the worst is the secretly rebellious. The braggart, the one that boasts against God, I think indeed in general terms is one that sets themselves up for a target to be touched and dealt with by the grace, mercy, and love of our Lord. And it's not the case in all cases, but I tell you what, the secretly rebellious, I tell you what, that's dangerous. All of it is dangerous, but the secretly rebellious is dangerous. There are the secretly rebellious too. We'll touch on them here in a moment. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 19, it says, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh." And so the Lord is used here as his title for this certain man. And you know what? He's coming back. He said he would come back, and he came back. In Luke 19:15, it says here, "And it came to pass when he was returned after having received the kingdom." So now we have even a greater understanding about the certain nobleman, our Lord. Our Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is sitting at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the Father to say, "Son, go get your kingdom. Start ruling and reigning over our kingdom." That's what he's waiting for. Right now on this earth, and understand, I'm not saying that the Lord's not without control and working of his purpose and plan upon the earth, but there are others There are others that are working in this realm, this kingdom. See, we have presidents, we have kings, we have dictators on this earth. There's coming a day there's going to be one king and one Lord. Satan is the prince and the power of the air, working in the midst of all of those that I just described that are the leaders of nations and of tribes and of peoples. One day there's going to be one king and one Lord. And the Lord Jesus is waiting on the Father to tell him to come. He will return. And he will set up his kingdom. See, understand this. I believe it's manifested by the scriptures that speak to us about these facets and aspects of the kingdom, is that this entering into the kingdom, as the Lord told Nicodemus, this seeing the kingdom, it's not saying that the kingdom doesn't exist. It's saying that to enter into the kingdom and to see the kingdom, one must indeed be saved and born again. Because we who are saved and have learned anything from our Lord in the scriptures, we understand that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We may not pursue it and we may not behave upon it, but if we grow any at all, we understand that he's supreme. And we enjoy our land and we're thankful for being born here, and we have grief about our government and we have some blessings yet that remain regarding our government, and we know that we are subject to our government. We know that our Lord is above President Trump, and we ultimately submit to our Lord, not the president, not the leader of our land, or any of the saints that have lived in monarchies. When it came time that the monarch would say something and declare something for them to obey, that they would be caused to disobey God Almighty, they said, no, we'll not disobey our King in heaven. And so we know that he is going to return. He declares that he will return, and in these parables, indeed, the man and the nobleman did return. At his returning, the scriptures makes it very clear that he will reckon with each individual. In Matthew chapter 25, verse number 19, his scripture says here, and reckoneth with them. In Luke 19:15, then he commanded those these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. An estimation, an understanding about how they occupied. How did they occupy? He said, here, I'm equipping you. I'm giving you what you need. Occupy till I come. I'm coming back. And he has returned in these parables, and he is reckoning with them. We see here in the passages the commendation and blessing for obedience. In Matthew 25, verses 20 through 23, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Our Lord makes it clear in the Gospels and is his teaching that the one that is faithful over a few things will be faithful over much. That's just a principle that exists that is applied in every facet, every aspect of life. You're faithful in a little, you'll be faithful in much. It's just the way that it is. And the one that is not faithful in a little, the Lord says, who will give him his own to be faithful over, and those things that he would possess himself. In verse 21 of Matthew 25, or I'm sorry, in verse number 22, and he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You see, there's no comparison between the two. One is not taken to beat up on the other. Because the Lord knew that he had given this to this one and this to this one. Whether it be one, as in the one in Matthew, or whether it be 5 and 2. He said, you've been faithful in what I've given you. It's not about looking around. You know what a miserable life it is for a person to be looking around. And looking around, we can see so many things. We can see so many things by which we'll be tempted to be troubled. Our world is filled. You know why advertising is so successful? Because people look around. Folks, look around. We're tempted to look around and judge our own lives by the lives of others. The thing is where we need to occupy in and what we need to pursue is what the Lord has given unto us and presented unto us. And not thinking that the Lord having given more physical things or more even ability within the individual, having given more to the other, say, to have the expectation that our reward will be less. Because what we're responsible for is to be obedient, to occupy with what we've been given and the realm in which we can work and pursue as the Lord has given unto us. Somebody having been given a whole lot may blow it responsibility-wise, and the one that is given very little, being faithful in that, receive a greater reward. But the thing is it the reward or is it that joy of the Lord that the Lord mentions about? So many things that we could go into in this. We just don't have time. He says, "You've been faithful over a few, I'll make you ruler over many." He said unto both with the five and the two. In Luke 19, 17 and 19, he said unto him, "Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities? And I asked the question, when the cities? And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. Look at these occupiers. What's their attitude? Lord, yours has gained. Yours has gained. Well, they worked. They were obedient, but they did the thing. That's right. They knew that they worked in the power and the ability, the authority of their master, of their Lord. Yours has gained. Yours has gained. They had delight in doing so to the glory of their Lord. They knew from whence they had been equipped. They know from whence they have been directed and commanded. And you know what? They're not grumbly about it. It's a sad, sad case. And whatever the case is, whether they be these mental blessings, we'll call them, or physical blessings of life, where the individual is never contented or satisfied. There's people out here that have the picture perfect, pick the magazine of your choice life, but are still so very unhappy. Have the blessing of ability, have the blessing of health, have the blessing of family, have the blessing of spouse, have a blessing of children, have a blessing of family and even of a church. And as miserable as they can be, distracted, not content, looking to be filled in another way. And later on in the passages, we see this. We see the condemnation for rebellion and disobedience. And again, as I mentioned before, there is secret and open rebellion, and it will be judged. Secret rebellion, indeed I believe, secret rebellion. Understand this, that secret rebellion, all rebellion, secret rebellion is toward the king. Secret rebellion, undercover rebellion, rebellion in the heart is towards the king. It's towards the king. It may affect others. Secret rebellion is indeed propelled in the individual by self-wisdom and pride, conceitedness. The king is the king. The king has equipped. The king has commanded. And we are tempted in ourselves to say, no, not that way. Not that way. My way. Secret rebellion. Tell you what, it's dangerous and it's ugly. In Matthew 25, verse number 24 through 30, then he which had received the one talent came and said, let me catch up with it here in my Bible. He which received the one talent came and said, so he's speaking over top of what the Lord has said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man. Is the Lord a hard man? Look, he's provided. He's provided. He's given a directive. He's not left it open-ended. He's not a hard man. Reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Look about secret rebellion. I tell you what, if we will look at that as in the eye of the Lord and the way the Lord sees it, when we look to match wits with God and find fault with God and try to take what God has done and provided and called us to in our lives, we are fools before God, looking to match wits with God. See, this man is accusatory to the Lord, saying he's hard, saying that he's a thief. And he tells about his fear. And he said he went and hid his talent in the earth. He trusted in that rather than what the Lord had said. He trusted in the way of the world. He said, here you got what's yours, and this is the best it could be. What's the Lord say? The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked, this is wickedness. And he said unto him, slothful, you're lazy. Wicked and lazy servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not. He's taking what he said. He said, if you knew this, if you knew I'm so hard, quote unquote, tongue in cheek, if you knew that I'm so hard, if you knew that I was a thief, then why didn't you take my money, verse number 27, and at least put it to the money changers so I could have that little, that bit of profit when I came back? See, in self-wisdom and self-pursuit and in that secret rebellion, God is not glorified. Our Lord, the Lord, is not glorified indeed. In the open rebellion, he's not glorified. But I tell you what, in the secret heart, the rebellion in the depths of the heart, he is neither glorified there indeed. He says unto him, he says, you should have taken it and done at least the least amount of gain, but you didn't. Therefore, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. And that's the way it is with the Lord's children. More and more and more. Blessings that we can't even receive from our Lord. From here to the time that we enter into the kingdom of our Lord. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Or as it says in Luke 18:18, even that which he seemeth to have. See, we think we've got life and it's our own, and we'll do with it what we want. Our life is not our own. It has been given to us by the Master, by our Lord. In this, we see the condemnation for rebellion and disobedience. And here this one, he represents that one that did so in secret. He received the provision of the king, of the nobleman, of the man, of the Lord. He heard the words. And then everybody went on out, and he went on out too. He looked just the same as everybody else. Nobody else is keeping track of him. Nobody else is inquiring about what's going on with him until it came time to judgment day. And you know what? Judgment day, it's too late. Secret rebellion will be revealed. And it'll be a detriment and a shame unto all. Understand, there's secret rebellion by the heathen, those that deny the Lord and not receive his Christ, do not repent, do not believe and trust in the gospel, and there can be secret rebellion by the children of God. These parables apply to us all in so many degrees. Secret rebellion is no way to go. No way to go. And it stems from self-wisdom, conceitedness, pride, and covetousness. In Luke chapter 19, we read here about the condemnation for rebellion, secret rebellion, and disobedience. In Luke 19, we pick it up in verse number 20. And another came saying, Lord, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Self-wisdom manifested and shown by that. His own contriving. Not occupy till I come. Not be busy about the business that I've established and given word about. See, this Lord has reigned and has spoken for days and weeks and months and years before, represented to us by this good book. He says unto him, I've laid it up in the napkin, for I feared thee. Is he to be feared? He's to be referenced. But do we see anything in the man, the nobleman, the Lord, being abusive to these? by no means. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, another way of saying hard, rough, rough as a gale. Thou takest up, thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. I don't like the way you've set up my life. I don't like the circumstances of the way that you, God, have chosen to bless me. I don't like it. I want something different. Secret rebellion's ugly, isn't it? It's ugly. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to submit. We've made bad choices. I made these bad choices, and I don't want the result of these bad choices in my life. I don't want to reap what I've sown. Tell you what, we need to ask the Lord for help, not rebel secretly. Not to rebel secretly. He says here, I've laid it up in a napkin. He says, and the Lord says unto him, he says, I fear that you're an austere man. You steal, you reap where you don't sow. And he said of him, said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. He said, this is wickedness. This secret rebellion while I've been gone is wickedness. Thou knowest that I was an austere man. If you know I'm hard, you should have done something regarding that. Taking up that I laid not down and reaping that I did not sow. If you know I'm a thief and that hard, you should have done something. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank? See, the other was the exchanger, the money exchanger. Here it's the bank where they would lend, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. See, the Lord's not talking about, he's not talking about the gain in finances. He's talking about the glorification of himself. He is to be praised. He is to be honored. He is to be thanked and to be glorified in every whit of life. And he said unto them that stood by, verse 24 of Luke 19, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. See, the Lord does what he wants to. Don't reason or reckon with the Lord as a man. He's not a man. Be thankful that we're there. And we got what the Lord has given us in every way. And be focused on him and his command and his provision and what he says. Occupy till I come. It's not fair, they're saying. It's not fair for him to have another one. The Lord does what he wants to. Praise me to his name. Lord, does something, rejoice in it. Not the secret rebellion of heart. For I say unto you, verse 26, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. And the Lord doesn't forget about open rebellion either. He'll deal with secret rebellion. But he doesn't forget about open rebellion either. It's very clear. Verse number 27. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Well, that's pretty hard. It's the way it is. It's how bad sin is. It's how the Lord will deal with the heathen, the unbelieving, and the unrepentant that seek their own way in self-wisdom and pride. He will deal with those. Been studying about this, about how Brother Moses declares unto the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, as he preaches unto them three messages there before that second generation goes over into the promised land, he says he will answer the rebellious and the wicked against him to, he will repay them to their face. You won't get sucked in with the wrong crowd at the judgment. You'll be there as the individual. You and I will be as the individual. So, in conclusion, how are you occupying? How am I occupying? This is indeed what the kingdom of our Lord Jesus is like, what he has described here, how he operates in his kingdom, and our responsibility. We've got it. We've got it. Our Lord has equipped in every way. He's provided in every way. There's none that cannot be helped in the place where they're at. The children of God, we have this open door of prayer unto our Lord and the promise of Him working and helping and providing. He'll give comfort, and He is most compassionate, and He will help in every way. When the Lord shows us that our hearts are not right, even as His children, and He convicts us of that, we can go to Him and ask Him to take and change our hearts, that we would be satisfied and content with what He's blessed us with, and to pursue the work that He's given us to do for His sake and for His honor and His glory. And to quit looking on the outside and look on the inside with what our Lord has done and use that and occupy till He comes. For the sinner that is without the Lord and estranged and far away, is it not our Lord that says, come, come unto Him? He's got everything to meet every question and every need that you have. But I tell you what, it's not going to get there. You're not going to get there by self-wisdom. You're not going to get there by the pursuit of pride. You're not going to get there by secret rebellion. You're only going to get there by submission to the Lord and what He says is true. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. And the Lord Jesus, this Lord, this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He's the Savior too. He's got everything that you need to make you right before Him, right and whole. May God help us in every case that we hear Him and believe Him in all He says.